I used to be a delivery driver for Poland Spring Water from 1998 to 2006. I delivered to most towns in Massachusetts, but my route mostly centered around the greater Boston area. There's some good parts, and there's some not-so-good parts. When I was new, they just sent me to the not-so-good parts, because that's where the new guys go. I got a lot of the not-so-good parts. They kept me in the not-so-good parts for too long, as far as I know. Coupled with that and the fact that the Adam Sandler movie, The Waterboy, came out in 1998, made things even more sporty for being a water guy, or a water boy, perhaps. For any of you who have seen that movie, you'll understand it was definitely a dark time to be a water delivery specialist. I learned to drive trucks, sell various products, collect money, learn inventory control, as well as attract new business. One thing I did love about the job was the people. I got to meet all kinds of interesting and cool people out there. But there was one group of people that I would bump into, really not because I wanted to, but it was those people that were a little bit overzealous with spreading the word of God. You know the ones that come running up and they yell at you, they go, "Repent now! You need Jesus. Only God can save you." They come out of nowhere. They'd be hanging off the mirrors of the truck. They'd be yelling at me through the window that I was a sinner. I need to repent now, now, and be saved. I'd generally respond one of two ways. I was either scared to death, and I would yell back, "Okay, okay, I'll repent. Just don't hurt me, please." Or it was a bit more forceful, and it involved something along the lines of, "Get off the truck, or I'm going to Chuck Norris roundhouse kick you in the face." Just for the record, I never did the latter. It was usually scared. "Please, leave me alone, please." Every time this happened, I would always think to myself, man, there's got to be a better way for them to get their point across than that. There's got to be. There's got to be a better way to convey whatever their message was, except that I was a sinner and needed to repent. I still see these people around with their ambush tactics, and it made me kind of think about how we get our message out, which also made me think of something, of a subject that's very near and dear to Jerry's heart. Ninjas. We need to be God's ninjas. I just want to apologize to Chris Salva first, who I'm sure he was thinking that Bob was going to talk about his Grandpa Hank, Sylvester Stallone. Sadly, I'm not. I don't know if there's a sermonette about Rambo, maybe Rocky. If there is one about Rambo, I'll find it. I'll figure it out. This is Grandpa Hank's title, by the way, Chris. So moving on, for those of you who like titles, I've titled this, "Be a Ninja for God." So I consulted a few websites and Wiki, and discovered that there are actually some similarities with the journey of a ninja in our journey. A small disclaimer here, there are good ninjas and there's bad ninjas. So for the sake of this sermonette, we're only going to focus on the good ones that fight evil. We're not going to focus on what they can inflict on people and things like that, but it's more about their training, tactics, lifestyle, armor, weapons, and their lifelong dedication, which can sometimes mirror what we do. Ninjas are actually a little bit more down to earth than you might think. As many are born into their lifestyle, some of us were. Many are born into it, and they start studying it from a young age, as people do in this room. We have our elders, and they have elders that they look up to, and when they're in training, they're constantly looking up to their elders to try and further their accomplishments to be a better ninja. Most ninjas actually have regular jobs, and they dress in plain clothes, much like we all do, and it's a daily lifestyle for them that grows within them, just like us. So there's just a few quick ninja facts, at least according to the internet, and we all know it's true because everything on the internet is true. So as I looked more into ninja facts, there's a big emphasis on them keeping their minds and bodies in tip-top shape as much as possible to be ready to fight evil at a moment's notice. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says for us to keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for something to devour. God also wants us to keep our bodies and minds as strong as possible, not gorge ourselves in bad foods, alcohol, cigarettes, or whatever may break our bodies or our minds down quickly. We need to stay sharp and stay focused at all times, because evil can be around us, and it is around us, and we need to be ready. Another part of being ninja-like is using certain tactics. A simple one is they work together, just as we do. We work together as a family. We're certainly commanded to come here together every Sabbath and every holy day. We're told to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy and not forsake the gathering. We're all in this together as part of God's family. We help each other out and we lift each other up. At times, you might attend church by yourself, but nobody here is alone. Sometimes we show up by ourselves, like I did, but I'm certainly not here alone. A cool thing ninjas can do to help each other is they can make a human ladder, which means if there is a high wall that they need to get over, one ninja will get down on all fours, the other will climb up on top, and depending on how tall the wall is, another ninja will get on his back on all fours, and they'll continue to do this until someone can finally get over that wall. I think we could do that if we had to, or were commanded to. I don't think we'll be doing it anytime soon, but I think we could get it done if we had to. Another part of ninja tactics is certain words that they use to communicate with within their own circles. I don't know what these words are, because I don't speak ninja. But we do have certain things that we say that most people probably wouldn't even understand what we're talking about. Right now, there's words that I could say to you and not even put them in a sentence. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. Someone walking by on the sidewalk, perhaps they would have no idea. Like the word unleavened. How about tabernacle? Lukewarm? How about baptism? How about first fruits? I know some people think that has something to do with apple picking season. Moving on to some cool stuff ninjas use is their armor. From what I gathered, it was something that is usually concealed, easily concealed, and sewn into some of their clothing, called kusari. It would be sewn in between the layers of their clothing, and it'd even be small plates called karuta. They could even sew chainmail or whatever else was needed inside their clothing to protect them. Sometimes, they might even wear knee, arm, shin guards, possibly even a thin metal helmet if it came to that. We've been known to have some armor ourselves too. In Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, we can put on the full armor of God so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. We put on a breastplate, a shield, a helmet, and even a sword. Ninjas are also trained in a variety of weapons, swords, bows, knives, throwing stars, all kinds of stuff. Although one ninja quoted that he believed the mind was the best weapon. You know who else said that? Rambo said that. There's your Rambo reference, Chris Alva. We do have only one weapon to fight evil with, but it's way more powerful than any sword made of the finest steel on earth. We have the word to help us take the fight to evil, and we must train with it daily to keep sharp. One thing that came up numerous times in the life of a ninja is that you never reach the top. You're always in training, no matter how good or knowledgeable you think you are, and it is a lifelong process. The journey never ends, and there's supposedly something waiting for a ninja after they die. As we read our Bibles, we're told that the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Training for one is far different from the rigors of preparing for the other. I don't know about you, but every time I listen to a sermonette or a sermon, I constantly have these aha moments. All of a sudden, something that didn't make sense, or something I didn't even realize, all of a sudden I go, aha, I understand, that makes sense now, I get it. Or if I'm reading the Bible, things just pop out that really never did before, whereas before I'd read it, and I read the same thing again however long later, I said, oh, this makes perfect sense now, whereas before, I really had, very little idea what was going on. There's constant discovery, and there's always room for improvement for more of those aha moments every day for us. One of the big differences, though, between ninjas and ourselves is that they generally lurk in the dark corners, to do what they do, and we're here to light the way for others. So as I mentioned before, what are we doing to distance ourselves from those interesting people that used to throw themselves into traffic, leap up on the sides of the big green Freightliner water guy's truck, essentially risking their lives to tell me, a total stranger, that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus? Clearly they were right, but what do we do? I don't think getting in people's faces is the most effective way of getting anything done. What we need to do is be ninja-like and stealthy to get people and be prepared to defend our faith. In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give the answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for that hope that you have put, but to this with gentleness and respect." That's the NIV version. Gentleness and respect. There's nothing gentle or respectful by jumping on the door of the poor water boy's truck or getting in someone's face. And if I was to actually ever ask these people any specific questions, they didn't really have anything for me. They just kept telling me, repent, repent, repent. well, what are your stance on things? Repent. Okay, so I guess that's all you have to do, and then you're all set. You don't worry about anything else. That's great. That sounds easy. We might not even realize it, but I think a lot of us use sneaky ninja tactics to influence change in people for the better already. It might not even be something into the context of deep spiritual conversations with people outside of the church. It might just be doing little things out there. It could be as simple as a kind word, or letting someone go ahead of you that has two items at the grocery store in the checkout line, or letting someone out into traffic. That's the most difficult one for me. I'm not really programmed to do that. I like to just go. But if you let someone out, you might change their day. Or perhaps you hold the door for the water guy. Those jugs of water are heavy. Hold the door and give him a hand. How about comforting someone in the time of need or loss? What an opportunity to share our hope with them. I know that certainly resonated with me when I started my journey in the faith. Knowing that I would see all my loved ones again, that was amazing. Even one kind thing for someone can be a catalyst for positive change. I've seen it happen firsthand. I've been around many, many hardened individuals in my industry of construction. For whatever reason, they're hardened. And by simply acting in kindness toward them, their demeanor would completely change. How ninja is that? We have the ability to influence people by our example. But we can't initiate calling someone. That's up to God. Jesus clearly said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." That's John 6:44. We don't call people, but we're here to be a light. God's word is the ultimate light. And Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light in my path." We don't need to use ambush tactics in traffic and scare people into repentance. We need to use kindness and respect. Ultimately, it's not up to us if someone's called or not, but it is up to us to live the way God wants us to. We want to welcome people, not scare them away. Our actions out there in the world can touch many people, which can perhaps bring them here, or perhaps it just lightens their day and has them enjoy their life just a little bit better. We need to influence people in a positive manner out there, whether it's bringing them here or perhaps just being a light for the rest of their day to help them out. We've got the knowledge. We've got the instruction manual. We are ready to defend, not assault. So grab your armor, grab your shield for those fiery darts that life throws at you every day. Be ready, be prepared, be kind, be respectful. Use those stealthy tactics and be a ninja for God.